You are listening to the Purpose Church High School Ministry Podcast. Whether this is your first episode or you've heard them all, God has something to say to you. Our vision is to see every student everywhere following Jesus, and we hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith. To learn more about our high school ministry, visit our website, purposechurch.com/HSM, and check us out on Instagram at purposehsm. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
Tonight is the last night of our series, Give Your Life Away, the radically different way of living generously for God. And to recap, the big idea of this series has been this. When people choose to follow Jesus, they are not saying yes to an easy, perfect life. People who choose to follow Jesus answer his call of daily self-denial and self-surrender for the glory of God, who has already surrendered everything for us on the cross in order to save us. If you would open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, we're going to be a little all over the place tonight, but we're starting in Matthew. And in chapter 16, verse 24, these have kind of been our anchor verses for this series. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul?" Following Jesus, as he says, has a cost. We must deny ourselves, take up our cross in order to follow him. But the promise that Jesus has in these verses is that when we lose our lives for Jesus' sake, we actually gain life because we experience the abundant life that he has for us. So these verses and this theme that we've had for the last 3 weeks, it has led us to this perspective. And that is to view everything that we have as it's not really ours. It's a gift from God. The things that we have are on loan to us from God. And we have an opportunity every day, sometimes every hour or every minute, to either use those gifts for ourselves, to use those gifts for worldly approval, or we can use them for God. And these gifts from God, that goes for our talents, that goes for our time, and it goes for our treasures. Now, tonight, when I say treasures, I'm referring to our money, as Gavin just prayed. I'm referring to our possessions and our resources. So right now, think about your clothes. Think about your allowance. Think about Christmas and birthday gifts. Many of you HSMers have jobs. You're out here working hard. Whatever amount of money you have, whatever possessions you have, that's a treasure. And tonight, we're going to mostly focus on the treasure that is money. And as we dig into this topic, I want us to take a moment and write down what words and feelings come to mind when you think about money. Money, I think, can have an emotional tie to it. And so, like for me, if maybe some of you can relate to this, for me, in the house that I grew up in with my parents, I love them, but money was something to fight about. Maybe money is something that gives you anxiety. You're not sure if you or your family always has enough. You're not sure what will come next. For some of you, you might be like, I don't know, I've never really had to think about money because we've always just had enough. So whatever it is, I want you to take a moment, you and the Lord, what comes to mind, what words and feelings come to mind when you think about money? Take a moment now. Money and possessions are necessary. They are like inescapable. It would be really hard to live this life if you avoided money and treasures at all costs. And I think Jesus understood this. And in the Gospels, which are the four biblical accounts of the life and ministry of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In the Gospels, we read some of the very words that Jesus spoke during his earthly ministry. We just read some of those words a few minutes ago. And in all of those recorded words, the number one topic that Jesus speaks about is the kingdom of God. But the second biggest topic that he talks about the most is money and possessions. I think Jesus understood that money can easily become an idol. And if it becomes our primary motive behind our decisions and desires, then the truth is that we're serving money more than we are serving God. But there is a way that we can approach money with freedom and joy. That whatever words and feelings you had just written down, there is a way to experience freedom and joy and money, and that's when we approach it God's way. And God's way for money and treasures involves first and foremost and a lot of generosity. Generosity with our treasures is one of the ways that we surrender to the Lord and experience the abundant life that he calls us to. And this is because Christians, those who follow Jesus truly, understand that whatever money they have isn't their money, but it's money, it's God's money that he's entrusted to them. And I believe that God has commanded us to be generous because, first of all, it helps us be a blessing to others. As I was preparing for this message, I just thought of the phrase, God is not selfish. And maybe that's for someone tonight. Maybe with money or maybe something else going on in your life. God is not selfish. He loves you. His love is self-sacrificing. That's the whole foundation of this series. And when we are generous with our treasures, we bless others. And Jesus said, the greatest commandments of all are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength, and then to love others as you love yourself. When we are generous, we bless others. And secondly, when we are generous, it's a little bit of a risk. Like it kind of does cost us something, and that helps us be dependent on God alone. I'm reading a book right now. It's kind of like my life group, me and a friend. We're reading this book called Waiting Isn't a Waste. And in it, the author, he's a pastor, he brings up this idea, imagine who we would be if we didn't have to wait for anything. It's like, would be pretty ugly, right? It would be scary. If we didn't have to wait for anything, we would probably be selfish and pretty rude and pretty arrogant. And I was thinking about that and wondering, what would we be like if we got everything we ever wanted, whenever we wanted it? Like if money wasn't a limitation, what would we be like if whatever we desired, we immediately got? You see, God wants something different for us than a bunch of worldly treasures. He wants us to be humble and not reliant on ourselves of like, look at what I made for myself. Look at everything that I have. But he wants us to seek him for guidance and comfort every moment of every day. It keeps us connected to him. It's relational. And it helps us be grateful and to praise him for whatever gifts he's given us. So here are a few thoughts on what Jesus shared about money and possessions. Flip over a couple of books to Luke. Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 32. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, your heart will be, there your heart will be also." Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Again, Jesus seemed painfully aware that earthly money and possessions can destroy us. Because if we put all our hope in them, Jesus says, thieves can steal, moths can destroy. We can't take anything that we have with us to heaven. And Jesus also exposes a deeper truth that how we think about our money and possessions often reveals a lot about our hearts. Again, do we think we earn or are owed all of our money, or do we view it as a gift from God? And when we are generous with it, when we do spend it, whatever it is, do we trust that ultimately God will provide for us? I've been thinking a lot. I know in these high school days, sometimes the mentality is, well, I've got to take this class so I can get ahead, so that by senior year, I'm in this class, and then I can apply to this college, and this will get me this job so that I can make more money and have a house and be taken care of. And sometimes we get trapped in that mentality of the ultimate desire there, our hearts, isn't necessarily to glorify God, to say yes to whatever he has for us, but it's money so that we can make ourselves safe, so that we're dependent on ourselves and not necessarily seeking the Lord in that. Ultimately, Jesus wants us to invest our hearts in eternal things that will not wear out. Jesus' thoughts on money and possessions continues. He warns his followers, no one can serve two masters. Turn back with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Jesus warns exactly what we just talked about. We are either devoted to God or to something else. And if we're devoted to money over God, then we cannot truly serve him. Jesus also warns, go to Mark in between Matthew and Luke. Mark 10, verses 24 through 25. The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus warns us that money can cause us to grow out of control. It can rule over our lives. We cannot serve both God and money. And if we choose to serve money, money is not a kind master. It can grow into all kinds of greed and selfishness and pain, where again, God wants us to experience freedom and joy and peace in him above all else. In fact, Jesus warns a man who asked him to tell his brother to divide his inheritance. Basically, this guy went up to Jesus and said, hey, make sure that I'm financially taken care of. And Jesus says in Luke 12, verse 15, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. I love that. We were just in a spiritual warfare series as a church on Sundays. And we talked a lot about the armor of God. And Paul writes, be on your guard against all kinds of schemes of the devil. And Jesus says, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. There is a life that is greater that God wants us to find in him. So with all of Jesus' thoughts on money and possessions, here are my three tips for dealing with money as a high school student. Number one is to pray. Pray to view all money and resources as a gift from God. Oftentimes, if we want our actions to change, it starts in our heart and that we ask God to transform us. Bless you. Number two, decide now to give and save your money before spending it. That the first things that you will do whenever you receive a treasure of any kind is to give a portion of it and save a portion of it. And then number three, don't do it alone. Ask your family or a trusted adult to help keep you accountable. Now, I'm warning you now, if you follow these tips, which I pray and hope that you do, it will change your life, and it will be hard, because the world does not live generously. The world lives selfishly. Usually, the world does not give away money or treasures, and if they do, they usually do it to show off or to like get something out of it. But Jesus gives us generosity as a prevention against selfishness and greed. A lot of you are driving. I think, in fact, in the last week, a couple of us got our driver's licenses. Shout out, Lucas! A lot of you are driving, which us leaders, we're so proud of you. We're also watching the road for you, so be safe. We love you. But nowadays, cars, what do a lot of them have?
Wheels.
Thank you. Love of my life. So helpful. They have wheels. Okay. But a lot of the new cars also have these sensors. They've got these beepers. So whenever you get too close to another car, whenever you change lanes without turning on your blinker, whenever you try to change lanes and there's someone in your blind spot, what do a lot of cars do? Beep, 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 beep. It's like kind of annoying, right? But those are in place as a safety measure. They are meant to help us drive safely and prevent danger. And Jesus gives us a prevention from being devoted to money over God, and that's to give it away, to be generous, and bless other people with some of what God has given you. And again, not all of it, but enough to where it costs us something, where we feel it, because we want to glorify the Lord and thank him and support the work of the Lord and take care of others, because Jesus loves the whole world and he died and rose again for the whole world. So, as you are thinking about this for your own life, maybe you're like, well, where do I give it away? There seems to be a lot of options, and that is true. That's why prayer is such an important part of our relationship with money. And one place that I want to invite you to think about being generous to is the local church. Christian ministry, God has always used the generosity of others to fuel the sharing of the gospel and the making of disciples. In Luke chapter 8, 1 through 3, we read that Jesus' own earthly ministry was fueled by the generosity of others. I love Acts chapter 16. There's a woman named Lydia who accepts Jesus and invites Paul and all of his fellow co-workers. She invites them to her home. She's hospitable to them, and she supports them as they do the work of the Lord. And to be honest, HSM, this is like the first time we've ever talked about money, even since I was an HSM student. And I'm excited that we're doing that tonight, because as we all sit here every Wednesday with lights on and microphones to hear the word of God, extra Bibles in case you need one, we all have places to sit, we have the ability to meet and gather, we have the ability to serve this Sunday at the microsite and provide food and crafts and games because of the generosity of others, that our church exists because God is using the generosity of others. And so when you give to the local church, you are glorifying God and you're supporting the ministries of whatever church that may be. And for us, we're experiencing some of the fruit of that, and we get to do that every single week. There are also other places that you can give. There are parachurch organizations that are also dedicated to partnering with the churches to reach the next generation. I know that many of you have been involved in FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and that is also an organization that relies on the generosity of others. And the key to these places, these organizations, our church, any church, is that this is going to support the work of the Lord. I also know that there are many people, including most all of your leaders, because I've experienced this from them, they have a generosity fund in their own personal budgets just to bless other people who God puts on their heart, whether it's buying a coffee or sending a meal. And I want you to know that as your pastor, I want to support all of us living generously, including with our treasures. So I want you students to know that every single Wednesday night, there's a box in the back where you can give to God through Purpose Church financially. It might not be every week. It might just be when you get that paycheck. It might just be whenever God provides something for you. But I want it to become a regular rhythm of us being generous with our treasures, wherever God is leading us to be generous. And so I want it to become a rhythm, just like we do bring a Bible and bring a friend. There's a box in the back, and you can also give any week, any time of the week. And we're not going to spotlight you as you do that, because that's not what it's about. But I want you to know that we support all of us growing as disciples of Jesus and being generous, and that includes with our treasures. And I want to say that I know a lot of you HSM students, especially as you've gotten jobs, have already started to do this. And I just want to thank you for being an example to all of us of being generous with all the things that God gives us. So here's what I want you to reflect on now. Ask God, where are you calling me to be generous with my treasures? Whatever it is that I have. And giving your treasures away is sometimes anxiety-inducing. I know I feel that, because it, in some ways, means less money for you. But again, being generous reminds us that this money is not ours, it's God's gift to us, and it's an act of worship. It helps us trust and rely more on God, and it is also more exciting to see God's provision, because you notice more how he is providing for you. In our last few minutes, I want to share, too, some reasons why you should consider saving, even as a high school student. Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, talks about saving, and they talk about how ants, those little animals, they collect more than enough food so that they have some throughout all of the year. And saving is wise. Saving helps you prepare for seasons of abundance and scarcity, and saving helps you be generous, because you have a little bit of cushion, and so it's even easier to bless others. And with all of this, if you're like, this is a lot, I've never thought about this before, or I've never wanted to think about this before, here's where I want you to start. Again, pray and ask God to give you his mind about money. Then, the next time you get some money, decide to give 10%, save 10%, and if you don't have a bank account, bring back the piggy bank. You know, bring back the envelopes. Those work. And then you've got 80% to spend to get your all the little Starbucks, all the little crumble cookies. And this is just a place to start. And I wanted to tell you, HSM, that when I got my first job, I made milkshakes at Forest Home for a summer. I was also a librarian in college, so pretty glamorous jobs. And minimum wage back then, I'm pretty sure it was like 12 bucks. I remember I got a raise one time in the library, and I went up from $13 to like $13.25, and I was like, yes, like God is providing. And with my little minimum wage part-time jobs, I gave a portion, I spent a portion, and then I had a little bit to spend. And it was hard, because I didn't have very much. And I will tell you, I'm like slightly lactose intolerant. And so during this season, when I was buying fancy coffees, like fancy lattes, most of the time I would not spend the extra dollar on alternative milk. And I was like, I'm just gonna risk it, because I don't know if I'm gonna have enough after this coffee. And so with all of that, it was hard, but the Lord taught me a lot. And when he provided this job for me, where I had a salary and I was making more money, it was easier to give and save because I had already started. HSM, I don't want you to grow up and realize that you never asked God for his mind about money. I don't want you 10 years, 20 years from now to realize that your life is marked by greed or anxiety about money, or you feel like money is ruling over you. I want you to experience the abundant life with Jesus that comes when we deny ourselves, pick up our cross daily, and follow him. And you might not think you have a lot, but our Jesus can do a whole lot with a couple of fishes and a few loaves. He fed thousands, and he can do a lot with whatever little you have. And if you start now, Luke 16, verse 10, Jesus says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? If we can be trusted with the little that we have, we can be trusted one day with much in this life and in eternity. So HSM, my best life advice for you is this. Give your life away for God's glory. The best life will not be found in gaining things for yourself. The best life is not found in gaining power, acceptance, and fame. The best life is found in living for Christ. And living for Christ will mean denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following him with everything we have, including our talents, time, and treasures, because everything we have is from him. So let me pray for us, and then let's dig into this more in our life groups. Heavenly Father, you are so good. Thank you that you are the giver of life, and you, the giver, are good, and you love us. And God, I pray that as we head into life groups and we reflect on the truth that everything we have is really a gift from you, I pray that you would help HSM grow even more to be generous with all the things that you've given us so that we really can see everyone everywhere following you, because you are worthy of it. I pray that you would bring freedom and joy and hope to many students' hearts tonight in this area and in whatever else comes up in life groups. We love you so much, Lord. Thank you for being with us. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.